and welcome to the Thursday Night Prayer Call with World for Jesus. And thank you, everyone, for coming to hear the word tonight. And we're going to give it over to Nita, and she's going to share what the Lord has put on her heart with us. Go ahead, Nita.
Okay, thank you, John. I, too, want to welcome all of you. God has an incredible plan for America, something that is so great. Because we've never seen it, it would be difficult for us to really imagine. And because of the purpose for which America was created, the enemy has constantly put people in positions in an effort to slow down at the very least and even stop or eclipse God's plan at the very most. He's been relentless, as you know, as he can be, and it has left people that God has sent in tremendous battles, tremendous struggles that they have had to overcome in order to fulfill their part in the purpose and plan of God. And I think that we put these messages on a website too, and if people come in and would like to hear the whole thing, then they can go onto the website and hear it. But for those of you who are here, let's pray and go ahead and get started. Father, we thank you. We praise you. We glorify you. We seek to magnify you for your goodness, your kindness, your mercy, your long-suffering, your faithfulness, for all that you are and all that you have planned for America. We thank you that as Christians, we are here at this very moment in time, that we may be a part of and partake of these infinite glories. I'm sorry, I just had a vision. And in this vision, I saw it was like I was zooming down or up through this corridor. And all along the way, instead of the side of the corridor being a wall, it was images, it was pictures, living pictures of the glory that God is going to release in this perfect time in America. And it sped by so quickly, I could only just see each window for just a second on my way through. I have no idea how many windows I passed by, but each window had something different going on inside of it. And it was like the glory of heaven being enacted on the earth, like the glories of heaven. We are going to see things in this hour on the temple plain that we would not have even known how to pray for. because we've never seen the like. In the beginning, when Christ was here, there was just an inkling of some of this. But in this hour, it's going to be explosive. In the earlier days, even when Moses, when Elijah and Elisha were here, I would say for Moses, he was an image of things to come. But I'm telling you, there was, in those windows, there was such like a living darkness. And then the light of God would stream in to each window and a new scene would play out. And it was a scene of things to come. It is the golden glory of the ark of God given to the church. Now, of course, we know of the ark of God given to Israel, but we have Christ, and pertaining to those things of Israel, Christ is our ark. But this is an ark of glory that has been reserved for this last day's church. And I'm so excited, I'm just shaking inside. It's going to be so beautiful. It's going to be worth the battles that we have gone through. Father, coming back to you and asking you in the greatness of your grace, in the beauty of your life, shine down upon us tonight. Let your light shine upon us tonight, Lord, that we may see what we could never see without your intervention. Help me to share your heart. Speak into the hearts of the people that are online. Let them experience your word, your living word, your life. Thank God. And we give you praise and honor and glory. I'm going to share with you many visions and or visitations tonight. And the reason I'm going to do this is because, well, first of all, I sat down to prepare my heart and my mind to hear from the Lord, and he just began to speak to me through experiences and visions and so on and so forth. Some I've had previously and he brought them back. Some have just, it's been an incredible afternoon. Let's just put it that way. But we need to know where God's heart is at this moment. We need to know how he's working and where he feels we are in the process of preparing the way for the Lord. So please, can we turn to Isaiah 40? It says, comfort. Comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to the heart of Jerusalem and cry to her that her time of service and her warfare are ended, that her punishment is accepted and her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received punishment from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one who cries, prepare in the wilderness the way of the Lord. Clear away the obstacles. Make straight and smooth in the desert highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted and filled up, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked and uneven shall be made straight and level, and the rough places a plain, and the glory, the majesty, the splendor of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. And that's where we are at this very moment. We're in transition. When it's time for a woman to give birth to a baby, she has labor pains. But just before that baby is born, she has birth pains, which are far more intense than the labor pains, because of the purpose that they're fulfilling. And I feel that that's where we are right now. I'll talk more about that in a moment. First, an angel came and took me across America in the air. Everywhere I looked below, upon the hills, the mountains, the valleys, the cities, the towns, etc. Plagues and the result of biowarfare and ultimately war could be seen. This was extremely traumatic for me. A second time, an angel picked me up and took me across the nation. Everywhere I looked, I saw drought, animals, cattle, sheep, etc. The foliage of all kinds were dead. The rivers, streams, and lakes dried up. I was in such anguish. I was wailing over all I saw. The Dust Bowl days of our nation were like the tropics compared to what I saw in that experience. If that wasn't enough, a third angel took me from the West Coast straight to New York. As we approached Wall Street, we flew closer to the land. We flew over Wall Street to the end, at which I saw a cliff. Now, I know that in real life, you might say there is no cliff, but in this experience, there was a cliff. We flew over Wall Street to the end, at which I saw a cliff. We hovered over the cliff for a few minutes, allowing me to look down. In the valley lay America, in a gazillion pieces, just shattered like broken glass. I cried out as I had at the drama from the earlier flights. No, I cried. He promised. He cannot let this happen. No. By now, I am crying uncontrollably. No, no. He can't. He promised. It has been so hard. He promised. After each venture, I returned suddenly to my body. Each time I returned, I wept 3 days and three nights. Suddenly, he would then speak to me, Nita, your prayer is saving America. And he was speaking of the work of the GOEs. So many years ago, this is another experience. So many years ago, I took a prayer team to pray over over several East Coast cities. One of those cities was Nashville. As we stood in front of a huge idol, I don't remember if it was Diana or Athena. Jennifer, one of the team members, had a vision. She saw two men playing chess. She asked me what it meant. I said, according to the interpretation I just received, that they are playing a game, that they intend to make America a feudal nation. And then I turned and looked back at the idol. And I said, look at this horrific idol. Will they win? Everyone that was with me cried simultaneously, no! This is another vision that I had about the progression of America. I suddenly awoke to a vision in the middle of the night. I saw vision after vision of people in all walks of life. There were the elderly, a couple not yet at retirement age, and the woman of that particular couple was holding a grandchild in her lap. A younger couple still making a family. So I saw the couple and I saw the family that they were having, they were building. And I saw young adults. And they were just being young adults. They were working. They didn't really have any great family responsibilities. So, you know, they would do what young adults do after work at night. The next picture was teenagers. And they were like standing around talking to one another. The next picture was children playing. And the last picture of all was a picture of toddlers. With each vision, I saw the lives of the people cut off due to war. Then the Lord spoke to me. In each case, I have shown you the future of the generations in America. In each case, their lives were cut off because you would not allow me to use you to save America. The time is short. Will you change your mind? I wept bitterly and repented and conceded to his gracious will. The sixth experience, I was in Singapore walking along a wide corridor. Suddenly, an early American bathtub with claw feet appeared over my head. It was full of the blood of the innocent. I could hear feet running from very young to the elderly. I could hear bombs go off and people crying as they lay dying in anguish. As the tub tipped, blood flooded down upon me, and I lost my equilibrium. As I struggled to regain it, the Lord spoke to me audibly. If you do not do everything in your power to accomplish my instructions, for the purpose of saving America, I will require the blood of the innocent at your hands, for America will be destroyed through war. Why? Why are all these things true? In another experience, I was taken, I won't tell you the whole experience, just the ultimate meaning. I was taken to see the corruption of our government. I saw them doing many wicked things and bowing down before a pyramid and worshiping idols. In that situation, I was undone. The vileness of what I saw was so abhorrent. I could hardly bear it. At one time, this was literally the day of 9/11. I was taken into a room in heaven where I saw what began as hundreds and quickly multiplied to thousands of newborn babies crying. I was told all these babies had been aborted. I began to cry. He said, I just released the discipline I spoke to you about years ago. Just then, someone pulled me out of the experience and was knocking at my door. I was in a hotel in Canada because I was part of a prophetic conference at that time. When I answered my door, the person cried, turn on the news. See what just happened in the States. I did. It was 9/11 in process. God's discipline. His discipline for our laws permitting abortion of the unborn baby. Number nine, I've seen many visions of human trafficking, many visions of all kinds of human trafficking, human trafficking of young children, teenagers, young adults. In some, it was for sexual pleasure. For some, it was to enslave them and use them to do hard labor. Number 10, an angel came sitting on his horse. He told me the reasons for discipline. We have despised God's law. B, slavery. This includes African Americans, Native Americans, and human trafficking. C, abortion. D, greed. E, the judicial system and its corruption. F, sexual sins, including gross perversions. G, persecution of the saints. Unjust, H, unjust and ungodly government. I, idolatry. Jesus took me to the top of a mountain to confirm this experience. And he said, we, America, are the garden of the gods. We now have so many gods that we worship in this nation. Heaven refers to us as the garden of the gods. J, war on the nations. More than 40 nations like Venezuela, Argentina, Belize, Bolivia, Brazil, Chile, Colombia, Cuba, Ecuador, El Salvador, French Guinea, Grenada, Guatemala, Guyana, Honduras, Nicaragua, Panama, Paraguay, Peru, Suriname, Uruguay, and etc. over 40 nations we have entered in and tried to set up our own government, much desiring to work toward tyranny, who would submit themselves to our wishes. We would, I'm not saying make war to the implements, typical implements of war, but we would make war against the peoples by stripping the wealth from the nation and bringing it to America and putting it into the pocketbooks of the elite of this nation. We've done it over and over and over again, leaving nations in such bitter poverty that it's hard to even consider, let alone having to see. To do this, to do all the things that I've just listed, would put America in a very vulnerable state before a righteous God. The thing that has held his hand from severe discipline has been the church. But we as a church are in a condition at this point where there is an abundance of apathy and even indifference. Because of that, the only thing that could have happened to turn God's judgment and even in some cases wrath from America is if he could find a people that would get a hold of him, find his heart, come to know what it is that we have done as a nation for so many years. It has displeased him. It pleased his righteousness, his holiness. And that's what he's looked for. So here we are. If you were to ask me what our primary focus is, it is speaking prophetically to the church and to the nation. Secondly, we attempt to encourage and provoke prayer and intercession. We carry on meetings, conferences, where that's all we do for the nation. And in a lot of those conferences, there are levels of prayer from very high to, in some areas, descending because so much of the work has been done. If it hadn't been for these meetings, and that's what the Lord was talking about when he said that my prayers have saved the nation. He wasn't talking about me as singularly. He was talking about the gathering that we call people to for the purpose of interceding over the nation. Because of all the intercession that we've done, God spared us from having Hillary as the president. Now, not all Christians are particularly fond of the one that God chose to take Hillary's place. There are others who can get beyond things that they don't understand about Curtis and just look at what he's doing and feel nothing but deep thankfulness. I know that people that have come to the gatherings year after year can probably look back over the years and see and compare what we have interceded for and over and compare it with the list of things that Trump has, is, and is going to be doing. And they're identical. It's just amazing to me. It's like he attended the gatherings and then forgot to announce himself. It's been really amazing what we've asked God to do through the person that he would select to be president, POTUS is doing. And so, because he doesn't know, we know that everything he's doing in answer to our prayers, to our intercession. And the things that he's doing are the very things that are needed for God, to allow God to save America, to spare us of his own judgment. It's amazing to me when you really get to know the way I have been introduced to America's past. It is amazing to me that God, being who he is in his holiness, in his righteousness, but in his love, and in his determination to bring about his own destinies, what he has labored through, what he has endured, to prepare us for a Trump who would prepare us for God's glory. Without Trump, and without the things that he is doing, there would never be another revival in this country. Everything he's doing had to happen before revival could be given by our Father. So this is the time to pray most intently. In the beginning, I talked to you about the labor pains versus the birth pains. And we are in the birth pains of this nation. Trump is about to do the unthinkable, inconceivable, even not just improbable, but without God, impossible. What he is getting ready to do, you either have to have God on your side, or you have to be a fool to even think of trying anything that he has and is and will be doing. But he is going to deliver America from the New World Order. He's going to deliver America from the hands of the Illuminati. Things are too much. They're too big. They're too great at this point in time for a man without that kind of authority to do what needs to be done. And Trump though he has so great an authority on his life, could not do what he has, is, and will be doing without the intercession of the saints. It is God's praying people that is making a way through the wilderness, making a way to clean up the junk and the corruption that has sought to attach itself to America. For him to do what he has been and again is and soon will be doing with members of the elite in this very country, that in itself, no man would want to do unless he knows absolutely that God is telling him to do it, and that he's given him the protection of prayer, of the church, and of those that work with him, the military, right now I can't think of what they're called, but we have about 16 or 17 of these agencies that have leased very important members, intelligence communities that have very important members that are standing behind him 100%. So without that, and the military, the last I heard was that he has 1 million soldiers that are on heightened preparedness for anything he would say in a moment's time. So he's not doing this alone. But even with all the help that he has temporally, if the church quits praying and doesn't, in fact, increase its prayers, both in time and in intensity, we're not going to be able to pull this thing through all the way. My mother's in birth pain. And she just decides to quit struggling. She's tired of trying to have a baby, and she just decides to quit struggling. Well, they have one of two choices. They're either going to have a baby that's going to be in a place of crises, or they're going to have to do a C-section. So in the natural, we have a perfect image of what's going to happen if the people of prayer do not lift up their voices to God with greater intensity, greater passion, so that he can pull us through the birth pains and bring birth completely to his divine vision for this hour. To that, I want to say, don't fear Trump. No matter what it looks like he's doing, the ultimate end of what he will be doing is going to be to free America from the hands of those who would destroy us. Don't fear him. A lot of Christians do fear him because they don't understand. But my hope, my prayer for you is that you will be of those who will help give birth to the destiny of America, and that you will not allow yourself to move into fear over anything that Trump is doing. He is God's battle axe. Imperative prayer is needed for him, for his family, his friends, his administration. He knows that he has leakers. He knows that he has betrayers. He knows that he has spies in his administration. And we need to keep him protected from those people. And those who are 100% with him and want to do everything they can to help him accomplish all that he's setting his mind and heart to need prayer for their protection as well as Trump and his family. But he needs prayer really and truly, most of all, that he will do God's will. Trump is Cyrus. He is David. He is Kennedy. The Lord told me before he was ever inaugurated that he had been raised up to bear the mantle that God put on Kennedy, and that he would finish things that Kennedy started. He is a lion. He is a bull. We see upon the life of Joseph that mantle. And now it's resting upon the shoulders of Trump. When the Statue of Liberty was built, the torch that statue carried meant one thing. And the thing that it meant was strictly humanistic. But God had a different meaning for that torch. And it stands there in the Atlantic as an ensign to God's purpose and plan for this nation. And I'm not talking about bringing aliens in or not bringing aliens in. I'm sure that all of you know about the beautiful poem or whatever they called it at that time that is there on the Statue of Liberty. Bring me your huddled masses and so on. But this torch that this statue is carrying is symbolic of the highest anointing given to man, the highest of heaven's anointings given to man, and that rests upon the shoulders of America. That torch is a constant symbol before the throne of God of his plan and purpose for this nation. We have yet to see just how powerful that can be because there's been so much sin involved in the raising up of America. But we're about to see it. God is still determined. If he can just hear the prayers of his people, he is still determined to fulfill his original plan and purpose for this country. To raise America up in a glory the likes of which we have never seen, for the purpose of opening the nations to the gospel, wherein many souls will be saved. He is, I guess you might say he's preparing the way for God's cornucopia to be poured out upon America. Prepare ye the way. Prepare ye the way. And that's what he's doing. Those that are working with him are helping him. Now, for the rest of us, our prayers will determine whose will gets done. God still wants to fulfill what he designed to fulfill in the beginning. Those who have been praying go into a place of apathy. Maybe some begin to think that everything we needed to pray about, we have prayed about. Others, maybe they just get bored or tired. Still others may just feel like they need their faith encouraged. But it's a very important time for us to stir up our hearts in prayer. We don't have a long time to wait. We're right at the birthing moment. So the praying of passion, the praying of determination, the praying of faith is so very, very important. It's critical. The more passion that we exert in our prayers, the more authority we release. The less the passion, the less the authority. So I really want to encourage you to really press in and be intense, because we're just about there. For I know the thoughts and the plans that I have for you, says the Lord, thoughts and plans for welfare and peace and not for evil, to give you hope in the final outcome. Then you will call upon me, and you will come and pray to me, and I will hear and heed you. Then you will seek me and inquire for and require me as a vital necessity, and find me when you search for me with all of your heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will release you from captivity. Now, the sad thing, a lot of people can think about living in America, and it's the greatest country in the world. What do you mean, be released from captivity? America's hardly in captivity. But wherever and to whatever degree we are not living in God's highest and best in this country, we are in captivity. And God wants to break the chains of that captivity. If we will just give him what he needs, he appreciates you so much, and he is going to bless you so much for what you have given and for what you have done. So please take that to the bank and hold on to it. We're in for a bumpy ride, but it's not going to be a long bumpy ride, because much work has been done behind the scenes under the table, in hidden places, places where no one knows. Some of these preparations were made before Donald Trump was ever put into office. There has been much work done spiritually and temporally to prepare for what is about to happen. But that doesn't mean there isn't going to be a shaking. We are going to go through the travail. But do not be afraid. Hold on to God's plans and purposes with your faith. Do not go into fear. Don't be afraid. God is not going to allow our back to be pushed against the wall so that we cannot stand and move forward in the days ahead. Don't fear. Don't become afraid of Trump. We can be concerned about those who are trying to subvert what Trump is trying to do, and I do go into those concerns, and I start praying all the heavier. We do need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit in that respect. But keep your faith in God and keep believing. Choose to trust that God has his hand on Trump and he's using him for his divine purposes, for the good of this nation. I think we've only got a few more minutes, so please let me pray. And then I think we have to hang up and move over to another line. Is that right, John?
You've got about 15 minutes or so.
Oh, I do? I thought we had only an hour. I'm sorry. Okay, well then.
No, 6:30.
I'll use it for prayer. Okay. I'll use it for prayer then. Father, as your children, as ambassadors of your will, we stand. We have the armor on, Lord. We have our swords erect. We have our shield of faith. We have on our breastplate of righteousness and our belt of truth. And Father, we lift up our sword, and in Jesus' name, we say to all that will set themselves against God's plans and purposes for America, that we bring you down. We bring you down, either soften your hearts, repent and see the vision of the Lord and let him use you to help bring it to fulfillment, or step down. For if you do not step down, you're going to be brought down. Father, I thank you that you're revealing the things that need to be revealed. I thank you that you are doing the things you and only you can do. I thank you that you're lifting up people of faith to stand in the gap for this nation. I thank you for President Trump, his family, his administration, those friends that are working with him in Washington, D.C., and around the world. I thank you for every leader that's standing with him. I thank you that you have given him the wisdom, the knowledge, the understanding, the prudence, the seven spirits of God. You've given him what he needs to fulfill your purpose, to fulfill your plan. I thank you for giving him the faith, the tenacity, the understanding of mind, the encouragement as he needs it, when he needs it. Father, that you will even speak to him in dreams and in visions and even appear to him to help him to know what to do and when to do it, whenever necessary. But don't let him falter. Don't let him turn to the right or to the left, but to stand in the purpose you know. Stand in the God who holds you. Stand for this nation. For we look to you to be a performer of God's will. We speak to this nation, America, and your inhabitants. We command you to bow the knee to the will of God. We command you to lift up your head to the Holy One. Walk with him, talk with him. Submit your life to him. Father, you have such a mighty work to be done. And you will accomplish it if we will just keep praying. So we speak to the intercessors in Jesus' name. And we call you to your position in the kingdom. And that you will stand in faith, in prayer, and in awe of God and his will. A nation, America, put on your robe of righteousness, your priestly robe before the Lord Jesus Christ, and fulfill your calling. Oh, the goodness of the Lord. Oh, the might of the Lord. Oh, the greatness of God. How great you are. How wonderful you are. How powerful you are. How pure you are. How holy you are. How righteous you are. How majestic you are. We thank you, Father, that you are trustworthy in all that you say. All of these things that you've shown me that I spoke on tonight. Prayer will put off all of it. We will go through the purging, but it's not a purging out of your wrath or your anger. It is a purging unto blessing. Help the church understand that even the difficult things can be your preparation for blessing. And that's what this is all about. So rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. Be strong in the power of his might. For he knows the plans that he has for you, to do you good and not evil. We thank you, Father, that we can hold on to that and help the battle axe of your purpose and plan fulfill what he's been called to do. In your precious name, Father, I am feeling the love that you have for these people that have been standing in the gap for you. And I pray for your horn of blessings that come upon them. Father, manifest the greatness of your love. Let them see it. Let them feel it. Let them enjoy the blessings of it, Father. And give them grace and tenacity. Give them faith and joy to keep praying and keep believing for your highest and best. Bless them, Father. I bless them. I bless them as the head of this ministry. Ricky, John, Ken, and Debbie, we join together, Father, and we bless them. We bless them for standing in the gap for our president and for this nation. Bless them with the blessings of heaven above and the earth beneath, Lord. Bless them. In Jesus' name, amen.